from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Californians are heading to the polls today to cast ballots in the 2020 presidential primary. Coming up on Forum, we'll take your voter registration and Election Day questions, and we'll check in on how smoothly the voting process is going around the state. Then at 9:30, as of this morning, there are just over 100 confirmed novel coronavirus cases in the United States, spread across 15 states. Six Americans have died from the novel coronavirus, all from Washington State, where officials have closed more than a dozen schools. We'll get the latest and review lessons learned from past epidemics. Join us next after this news. Welcome to Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. It's Election Day, and for the first time since passing a 2017 law moving California's primary election date from June to March, the state's nearly 20 million registered voters are able to cast their ballots today. California is one of 20 states offering same-day voter registration, allowing you to cast a provisional ballot. With the move to Super Tuesday and 415 pledged delegates at stake, California is expected to play a more significant role in picking the Democratic presidential nominee this year. But California has a high mail-in voter population. Over 60% of California voters cast absentee ballots back in 2018 in the midterm election, which will mean a longer wait to count the state's votes. And with the shakeup of Democratic candidates over the weekend, a number of wasted early votes for presidential candidates who were no longer in the race. Do you have questions about Election Day, your ballot, voter registration? You can give us a call now. We have someone with us who will be answering your questions, and the number to join us is 866-733-6786. Again, if you have any questions, you can call us now at 866-733-6786 or get in touch with us on Twitter and Facebook. We're at KQED Forum, or email your questions to forum@kqed.org. That's org. And joining me is Kim Alexander. She's founder and president of California Voter Foundation, and she is the one with usually almost all of the answers, if not all of them. Kim, good to have you back with us on Forum.
Thank you, Mike. I'm happy to be here.
Well, happy to have you. Let's start off with just a basic question. How smooth do we expect this voting process to be, not only here in the Bay Area, but throughout the state?
Well, there are a lot of changes voters are seeing this election. As you mentioned, there are a number of voters voting by mail, and we have a new voting model implemented in 15 counties, including in the Bay Area, in San Mateo and Santa Clara. It's called the Voters' Choice Act, and it's replaced neighborhood polling places with countywide vote centers that have been open already for up to 11 days, you know, total, and offer the ability for voters to go to any one of those sites in the county to go and vote, get a replacement ballot, register to vote, get language assistance. They're really full-service voter places. So there are a lot of benefits to this model, but it is a big change, and it's not happening everywhere. So some voters are in the traditional process of, you know, you need to request a vote-by-mail ballot or be a permanent vote-by-mail voter, and if you're not, you need to go to your local polling place today and vote.
Well, can you talk about the concern that's been expressed about these vote centers in L.A. and in other counties? Voters need to figure out where to vote. And frankly, there's been a big reduction of polling places. I think about 4,500 down to, well, 700 or 900, something around there, 776. So you got these new voting machines, and voters are going to have to sort of figure out how to use them, aren't they?
Yeah, there is a learning curve there. And I actually just got back from Southern California and looked at a number of voting sites around L.A. County and also in Orange County, where they're also implementing the Voters' Choice Act for the first time. And it is a big change, and it's coming with a big change in voting technology. You know, L.A. voters have been voting on this system called IncaVote and more recently IncaVote Plus, that's sort of like the old Scantron system that was not very voter-friendly, not accessible. And so they've been working to create a new voting system called Voting Solutions for All People for the last 10 years, and they're rolling it out this election. So voters are seeing new voting equipment. It's a very nice interface. There are some challenges to it, legal challenges coming from candidates who are not happy that they're names are appearing on a second screen and it's not necessarily clear to everybody that there's more candidates beyond this more button that's at the bottom of the screen. So that's been, you know, a very contentious issue leading up to the election. What I saw in LA yesterday voting was that the people using this new voting system, they did like it. They had a good voting experience. They said it was better than IncaVote Plus. They could see the candidates that they were voting for. They saw the paper record that was produced, that was their ballot. They were able to review it. I also saw a lot of technical challenges and inconsistencies and, between the voting sites, you know, issues where the person who had been provided all of the codes to start things up had not shown up. And so, you know, there were sites that were not able to open on time. But one of the nice things about this is, you know, we've had this problem in LA before, which is a major jurisdiction with millions of voters. And in this situation, you had these sites opening some of them on February 22nd, a number of them, all 977, by last Saturday. And their first day was what might have been rough, but by the second day, they were able to work things out. So rather than it being, you know, a one-day sale where people are lining up at 7 a.m. and you're not able to service your voters, I think these sites have done a good job of working out the kinks leading up to today.
Talking with Kim Alexander, the founder and president of California Voter Foundation, we're going to go right to your call shortly. I just want to get some wisdom from Kim. Well, a number of things I should say. First of all, you can find your polling place by simply going to the Secretary of State website, and voting will be open till 8 p.m., but let's talk about unaffiliated voters and crossover voting and no party preferences. I mean, let's get some things sort of out there for people to understand.
Yes, we do this every 4 years. We have this open primary process, except when it comes to voting for president, which is the contest most people care about the most. And then the rules change and we have a semi-closed primary where you need to be registered with the party of the candidate you want to vote for. The Democratic Party lets no party preference voters cross over and participate in their primary if those voters choose to do so. We have so many voters now who are vote-by-mail voters that were issued vote-by-mail ballots. And a lot of times voters don't look at those ballots until the last minute. And so if you're one of those people and you don't see any presidential candidates on it, it's because you didn't respond to a postcard the county sent out around December or January asking you to tell them if you wanted a crossover ballot. But the good thing is that if you're in that boat, you can go to your polling place or a vote center in your county and get a replacement ballot. You should bring that ballot with you and turn it in and make sure that way you don't have to vote a provisional ballot. But there are a lot of fail-safes now in the system. And if you find that you're not registered with the party that you want to vote for, the candidate of, then you can actually go and change your party preference at your polling place or at a vote center today as
well. You can do that today. You can change your party preference today.
Yeah, and we didn't have that before. And in 2016, you know, we heard a lot of reports of voters who were registered with the American Independent Party and didn't realize it, and they were trying to vote for, you know, candidate in a partisan election and were denied the ability to do so. And there was just no option for them. But now we have same-day registration at polling places, which means that you can update your registration as well.
And if you vote by mail today, make sure it's postmarked today. We're talking.
Well, not only that, Michael, but if you vote by mail, if you have a vote by mail ballot, yes, if it's postmarked today, it will get counted as long as it arrives within 3 days. And there's really no guarantee that it's going to get to your county elections office within 3 days, the way the mail is operating. So the safest bet is actually to take that vote-by-mail ballot, make sure you signed the envelope, and return it to a voting site in your county, or even if you're not in town, you can return it to any county voting site in the state. They have to now get those ballots back to the home counties. That's another new law that I'm really happy we have implemented in California. It actually rescued over 1,200 ballots in my own county in Sacramento in the last election, where they got back to their home county. So take that vote by mail ballot and return it in person today if you can. If you have to mail it and make sure that you put it in a mailbox that has not already picked up the mail. The number one reason why mail ballots get rejected, and about 1 in 100 on average get rejected, is because they arrive too late. And 100% of those are sent through USPS. So don't let your ballot be a late ballot. Make sure you sign the envelope. Try to sign it the way your voter registration signature looks. And if you don't remember what that looks like, look at your driver's license or state ID and make it look like that signature.
All right. I'm going to read a comment from Robin who says, I changed my party preference from green to no party preference so I could request a crossover ballot for Democratic candidates. I received a second ballot as I am also signed up for vote by mail. The first ballot has the Green Party candidates, but the second ballot does not have any candidates for any party. Is it too late or can I get a revised ballot at a polling location so I can vote for the Democratic primary candidates?
That is a great question. And yes, you can take that ballot that you got, the no party preference ballot, and turn it in at your polling place and ask for a Democratic crossover ballot, and they will issue you a regular ballot as long as you have that ballot with you. It's a little bit different in vote center counties. They actually are networked to the county registrar of voters database. And so if you go and show up at a vote center county voting site, they actually can cancel out the ballot right there on the spot that had been issued to you and give you a regular ballot. So it's a little different depending on whether your county is doing one voting model or the other. But if you have that ballot with you, and another situation, if you filled out your vote by mail ballot and you marked it for a presidential candidate who's now dropped out of the race and you want to change it, you can take that ballot back to your polling place or vote center and get a new ballot.
If you have a question for our guest, Kim Alexander, give us a call now at 866-733-6786, and let's go right to your calls. Jennifer, we begin with you. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. Well, I got part of my answer from listening, but I wanted to know, I was one of those people that registered Democrat in the 2016 election because of reasons, and then this year I got the no partisan ballot, and I'm curious as to why it thinks I would revert back to whatever I was before Democrat. Because obviously things, I'm like still voting Democrat for reasons.
Thank you for the question, Jennifer. Let's go to Kim. Kim Alexander.
Yeah, that's a great question. And Jennifer, I wonder, did you go to the DMV in 2018 by any chance?
I did get my real ID and it asked, hey, would you like to change your party information? I was like, no, I'm still good. Thanks.
Yeah. So what happened in 2018 at the DMV is they rolled out this new motor voter program, and they didn't have the greatest user interface with the screens that people were shown when they were going through that voter registration updating process. And so if somebody said, you know, I don't want to change anything, it didn't preserve your prior choice. It blanked it out and reverted, and then they defaulted you into no party preference. This happened to, unfortunately, a number of voters. We're not quite sure how many. So I'm very sorry that you had that experience. I know it made a lot of people angry and frustrated. And the good news is that we do have these fail safes now in the process. And like I said, you can still go vote a Democratic ballot. If you want to re-register as Democrat at the voting site that you go to, you can also take care of that today, too.
And Jennifer, good luck to you. Thank you for joining us on Forum. And we'll have another caller join us. That's you, Danielle. Good morning. You're on the air. Danielle, are you with us? Going once? Danielle from Alameda. Okay, then let me get Gordon on. Gordon, you're on. Good morning.
Hi, thank you for your show. And what I want to find out is what happens to the delegates whose candidate dropped out of the race?
I'm not as up on the Democratic Party delegate process as others are. My understanding is that you have to get at least 15% to merit any delegate.
That's the threshold for delegates, yes.
Yeah, but I also want to emphasize, you know, I've heard from a lot of folks who are upset that they already voted, you know, their ballots and their candidate, preferred candidate has dropped out. And I know that that is a really disappointing experience for people, but I do want to
forgive me,
Kim,
you can't do a redo on this either, unfortunately.
That's right.
A lot of people have asked about that. Yeah.
Yeah, we've been getting a lot of questions about that. But I just want to emphasize, you know, I don't feel that this is a wasted vote. These candidates that have dropped out of the presidential running may still be vying for a vice presidential slot. And all those ballots that have been cast for those candidates are going to be counted and reported. And it's going to give an indication of how Californians feel about moderate versus progressive versus, you know, wealthy candidates. And so I do think that that's not a wasted vote. And the other thing I want to say is that if you feel like you really wish you had voted for someone else at this point, you can go out and find somebody who has not registered to vote, who shares your views, and help them become a voter today and help them cast a vote for your newly preferred candidate. Of course, it's a secret ballot, and there's no guarantee that person's going to vote the way that you want to. But we have same-day registration. Anybody who's an eligible voter who's not registered can go to any polling place or voting site in the state today and get registered. But it'd be great if somebody helped them do that.
Let me thank Gordon for his call and go to a question from a listener named Jessica, who says, I sent my ballot off with my husband to deliver to the polling place for me, and I was confused by the place where they have to sign on the top of the envelope. I'm not sure I did it right. Does the voter sign at the top fold in the back of the envelope, or does the person dropping it off sign there?
That is a great question, Jessica. Thank you for asking that. And we and others have done a lot of work trying to improve the vote-by-mail ballot envelope design, and it is confusing because there's a couple different instructions for signing and marking on it. There's a box on the vote-by-mail envelope that says, you know, for the voter to sign. And then if somebody else is returning your ballot, there's a little section where you fill that in, and that person's supposed to sign their name. But the reality is that there's no verification process for that. So if you leave that blank, it's not going to disqualify anybody's ballots. But you do have to sign. Everybody has to sign their own ballot with their own signature in the signature box, or that ballot won't get counted. Now, the good news is, since the last election, the law has changed to require counties to contact voters who forget to sign their vote-by-mail ballot envelopes, or if their signature doesn't match their signature on file, they now have to contact those voters and tell them, hey, we need a valid signature from you, and give them a chance to submit a new signature so their ballot will get counted. And that, I think, is going to help reduce the ballot rejection rate. But voters need to pay attention to those kinds of notices, and they can be proactive. Jessica, you can go online and go to the Secretary of State's Where's My Ballot tool, or you can go to our website at calvoter.org, and we have links to all the voter lookup tools, and you can track your ballot and make sure that it was counted.
And the calvoter.org link is on our website, kqed.org. Again, we're talking to Kim Alexander, founder and president of California Voter Foundation. And let's bring Lisa into this. Lisa, join us. Welcome.
Hi.
Hi.
I have never, ever voted by mail. And yet, when I showed at my polling place today, they said that I was marked down as voting only by mail, which seems very odd to me, and I was then forced to vote provisionally.
What county are you voting in, Lisa?
Alameda. And they said that this has happened to a bunch of people, and that what really made me nervous, other than my vote not being counted possibly, is that I had to write down all my information on the outside of this envelope, including my driver's license number, and today, these days, I don't know. It just made me very nervous. I did it anyway because I wanted to vote, but it seemed very odd to me.
It all seems very odd. Thank you, Lisa. Kim, are you hearing of these kind of screw-ups? Are they common? And asking for a personal ID like that?
Well, that is typical when you have to register to vote. You do provide your driver's license number, the last four digits of your Social Security number. So that is required. And I can understand someone's uneasiness about that. I can assure you, Lisa, that everybody that works in polling places anywhere in the state has to swear an oath that they are going to uphold the laws of California. And so, you know, I do think that you can trust the people in the voting process to be respectful of your information. I have not heard about this situation in Alameda. It could have been some issue with the printing of their rosters that are at their voting sites. Do you know if it was a paper roster or an electronic poll book that they were using at the site?
It was a paper roster?
Yeah. So it might have just been some kind of a glitch. But I can tell you that you can do two things. One is you can go to our website and look up Alameda's contact information and click on the link for vote by mail status and just check yourself to see if it's showing there also that you're a vote by mail voter. And if you were not actually issued a ballot, then that provisional ballot that you cast will get counted. So I wouldn't worry too much about that, but you can also check later that it was counted. And follow up with me through our website, please, and let me know what you find. I want to hear about it.
Good luck, Lisa. I hope you exercise your franchise, as I know you want to do. Here's Amy, who writes, thank you, Kim Alexander, for all your great work on election integrity for many years. There is disinformation going around now that even if you have sent in your ballot, you can change your vote at a polling place or vote center. And one says that if your ballot wasn't yet received, you can vote in person and change it. Please correct this information. Also, very glad to know that we can vote at any vote center in the state, not just our county. Is that true in all counties or just Los Angeles?
It varies from county to county. And thank you for those nice words, Amy. If you are in a Voters Choice Act county, and there are 15 of them, many of them in the Northern California area, but in Southern California, it's Los Angeles and Orange. You can vote at any vote center in the county. In other counties that aren't doing the Voters' Choice Act, you need to go to your local polling place. But if you can't get there, you can vote a provisional ballot at any polling place in your county. And if you have a vote by mail ballot, you can return it. You can return that to any voting site in the state.
There are a number of counties that actually found an end to the use of neighborhood polling places because of the Voters' Choice Act. In fact, some of them, well, you mentioned yours up in Sacramento, I believe, is one of them. But
yeah.
Locally here, you've got Napa, you've got, includes San Mateo, Santa Clara. What's been the effect of that? Can you gauge it?
Oh, you know, we have seen a slight uptick in voter turnout in those counties that are using the Voters' Choice Act model. A lot of these counties are places where they already had a high rate of voting by mail, so it wasn't that big of a switch to move to this new model. I think the big test is going to be L.A. In L.A., they have a phasing in of 100% mail ballot delivery. So in all the other Voters' Choice Act counties, every registered voter was issued a vote by mail ballot. But in L.A., they only sent them to people who were already signed up as vote by mail primarily. And so that's a big difference in implementation. L.A. is banking on the idea that they're going to have a lot of people voting in person. In the other Voters' Choice Act counties, we really have seen, you know, predominantly ballots coming in as vote-by-mail ballots. Many of them returned in person, but still, you know, at the end of the day, a vote-by-mail ballot being used. And I did want to get back to Amy's other question, if I could, Michael, about the disinformation about re-voting. It is not possible to vote again. We have heard some reports, for example, people who got a no party preference ballot and requested a crossover ballot and ended up sending in both. And only the first ballot cast is the one that's going to get counted. So not only will you not get to vote twice, but you've now attempted to vote twice, which is a crime, and you may be contacted and even referred to the district attorney's office for doing that or the secretary of state's office. So there are no do-overs, I'm sorry to say. And I know that this is going to lead to a lot of interesting discussions after Super Tuesday about the pros and cons of early voting and if that's really, you know, what voters want. I mean, we went through this before, you know, in other elections. I remember the special election for governor during the recall where there were 135 candidates on the ballot and a number of them started dropping out, you know, toward the end after people had voted. And we heard these same questions and concerns. So, you know, my heart really goes out to those voters who are feeling frustrated today about that. But I do hope they will maybe reach out and help a new voter vote.
Getting a lot of response from listeners along those lines, I'm sorry to say. And you can spend a little more time with us. You got so many people who have questions for you. I hope we can take this up to about 9:40. I'm looking at a tweet, by the way, from Todd, who says, caller who said she had to vote provisionally in Alameda County due to screw-up, saying she was mail-in voter. Same thing was happening this morning at my Berkeley polling place. So we're hearing from listeners certainly about some of their concerns, but also questions that you have, and we will take more of your calls when we return. Kim Alexander with us on the line, founder and president of the California Voter Foundation. You're listening to Forum on KQED Public Radio. I'm Michael Krasny. Welcome to Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. Today is Super Tuesday, and Californians are taking to the polls today, and we are answering any questions you may have about voting or really what's on your mind in terms of what you need to know about your ballot and so forth with Kim Alexander, who's president and founder of the California Voter Foundation. And let's not tarry. We'll go right back to your calls, and we go to Marcus. Marcus, you're on the air.
Thank you so much for taking my call. I've got a question. I've heard friends of mine are green card holders, and they told us that they were allowed to take part in the primaries. My wife and I'm a German citizen. My wife is an Indian citizen. She has an H-1B visa. I'm here on a media visa. We pay a lot of taxes in this country, and we spend a lot of money in our community. I want to know, is it possible for us visa holders, since there are a lot of people in Silicon Valley who are visa holders, to take part in a primary?
Kim, visa holders?
No, you cannot. And if you do and you want to become a citizen later, this could deny you your
citizenship.
Could
be a black mark against you, right?
Yeah. I also wanted to comment on the—
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, the provisional ballot issue that's coming up. California voters should feel good about the fact that most provisional ballots cast in our state, on average, are counted. I know there's a lot of stories about provisional ballots getting rejected in other states, but California has a very high rate, usually around 90% of provisional ballots getting counted. So if you're in that situation today, you know, don't panic. It's not the worst thing in the world. It's actually a fail-safe. If the system's having a glitch or there's some issue with your record, it's a way to make sure that nobody's turned away.
Let me thank Marcus for his call. And here's Fran, who says, I just voted in Cupertino. I was registered as an independent and asked for a Democratic crossover ballot. The entire process was easy, fast, and smooth, even with all the new machines. That's heartening to hear. And here's Jennifer, who says, I changed from no party preference to Democrat 4 years ago and received no party preference ballot again this year. I did not go to the DMV recently. Just want to add my name to that issue. And let's add another caller here, and that's you, Lori. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. I procrastinated. I moved to the area just under a year ago and failed to switch my identification or re-register to vote in the area. I'm wondering if you have advice about ID today and whether I'll be able to register on site.
Yes. If you move within your county, you can actually just update your registration at a vote center or polling place. There's a new law that allows you to do that with a very simple form. If you've moved from a different county or you've moved from a different state and you're a U.S. citizen, then you can register to vote today at any polling place or vote center. You'll need to fill out an application, provide, you know, your address, your driver's license or social security number, as I mentioned. You'll need to sign that form under penalty of perjury and attest that you're a citizen and you're 18 and eligible. And then once you've it's called conditionally register. Once you've done that, they will give you a conditional provisional ballot, and you will fill that out. And that will go inside the envelope once they verify your registration and make sure you didn't vote somewhere else in the state using the statewide voter database called VoteCal, then they will count your ballot and you'll be registered to vote.
Good luck to you, Lori, and thank you for that call. And we'll go right to another caller. Danielle joins us. Danielle, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for taking my call and for having this important conversation. I'm in Alameda County. I vote by mail permanently for many, many years. And I did not receive my ballot, and I, you know, just kind of got caught up with life, didn't really check into it before now. I'm wondering, my polling place is far from where I work, and I work pretty late. So I'm wondering, can I go into any local in my county polling place and go ahead and do a provisional vote, or would my vote actually count as not provisional if I went to my local polling place, you know, in lieu of having the mail-in ballot?
Yeah, thank you for that question, Danielle. Kim Alexander.
I think that's the hardest question I've gotten so far this election.
You were batting 1,000. Yeah.
I know. That's a great question. I mean, it would be better to go to your own polling place because your name will actually be on the roster and they'll be able to mark you on the roster to say that you had shown up. But I'm 95% confident that even if you go to a different polling place in your county and you're not on the roster there and you tell them that you're a registered voter in Alameda County, they will give you a provisional ballot to vote. And you'll have to fill out the – in either way case, you're going to need to fill out a provisional voting application on that envelope. envelope, and then they'll give you a ballot for that polling place, and you will not, you'll see candidates in that ballot that you're not actually eligible to vote for because you don't live in that precinct. And if you mark those choices, your ballot will only be partially counted. The contest that you're eligible to vote in, like president, that would get counted, but a contest for like city council or something that's outside of the district that you're voting in, that vote wouldn't count. So it would be a partial provisional.
Danielle?
But if you go to your local place, all your votes cast on all your contests will be valid.
I thank Danielle for her call, and you did get an answer there from Kim. Let me get another question from a listener. We go to Brett next. Brett, you're on the air.
Hi, Kim. I'm curious about the issue of the election system security. For years, we've been waiting for an open source software voting system where the people could take a look at the software that's tabulating the votes. And Los Angeles promised to be creating such a system, but now we're hearing from the experts that that system is not an open source system. San Francisco is trying to build such a system. Do you have any thoughts about keeping Microsoft and secret corporate controlled software out of the vote counting process?
Yeah, the LA voting system is aspiring to become a publicly disclosed source code voting system. And so we are all anxious to see that happen. It would be very beneficial to election companies, jurisdictions, advocates all over the country and even the world for LA's voting system source code to be publicly disclosed. And that is something that they are intending to do, and the Secretary of State and his certification orders for the LA VSAP system said that he's going to be working toward making that happen. And there's also some other very exciting innovations in California. In addition to San Francisco, as Brett mentioned, there's a new company called Voting Works, which is based in Redwood City, and they are developing a new voting solutions too that will be open source code. So I do see this as a growing trend, hopefully expanding. It is definitely something we want to encourage.
Let me take the caller and go right to another caller. That's you, Julie, in Los Gatos. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I'm probably one of many voices frustrated today because I mailed in my ballot thinking I was getting ahead of the game, and my candidate of choice is no longer in the race. And so now I'm feeling like my vote isn't necessarily going to count in the way that I wanted to, and it feels to me like ranked choice of voting would be the solution to this, and I don't understand why we don't have that, especially in races like this where it is likely, it's possible, that someone you might vote for may no longer be in the race by the time your vote gets counted.
There's been a good deal of talk about that, Kim Alexander, and let me thank you, Julie, for bringing it up again. What about the likelihood, the possibility even? It seems remote that ranked choice would come into the play here, but maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I think this episode is something that the advocates for ranked choice voting are going to use as a great way to make their case, and I think they'll be very effective in doing that.
And here's a listener who tweets, I just volunteered at a polling place in Sonoma County. There were a lot of people required to cast provisional ballots. Voters were in large part confused by this. It even took us workers by surprise, and we had to refer to the training manual just to be sure.
Yeah, I think that's happening. We saw this. We've seen
it happening all
elections.
Over, probably, isn't it?
Yeah, and what's happening, Michael, is we have 75% of the voters in the state being issued vote-by-mail ballots. A lot of them didn't know that they were going to get those ballots, weren't necessarily looking for them. And so they didn't, for whatever reason, those voters, 15 million Californians, did not, you know, many of them didn't connect with their ballots. And so if you've been issued a vote-by-mail ballot and you didn't turn it in, you know, the county has to make sure that you don't vote twice. So when you show up at your polling place, and you may not remember that you checked the box saying, yeah, send me my ballot in the mail, not realizing that makes you a permanent vote by mail voter. So it's totally understandable why voters might be confused about this. If you show up at a polling place and they tell you you're issued a vote by mail ballot, you know, just vote the provisional ballot. Like I said, it's going to get counted because that ballot that they sent you maybe a month ago, you just weren't looking for, got shuffled in a mail pile. If you have your ballot, the best thing you can do is take it in turn it in if you need a different replacement ballot, or take it in and vote it at your polling place or to vote center.
Any final advice before we say goodbye to you, Kim? I mean, we've covered a lot here. You got a lot of good questions, and thank you again for providing the answers. Any particular caveats or concerns that you would want to go on record with?
Well, I like that song you played on the break. I changed my mind. I'm going to have to go look that one up. So that was great. I wanted to let people know that I am on Twitter at KimAlex3, and I will go on to the forum page from the show and look at your questions there, too, and provide some additional responses. So please feel free to continue reaching out, and we'll keep helping the voters. And come visit our website at calvoter.org and use our resources, our California Online Voter Guide. We also have a directory where you can contact your county election office, links directly into all their lookup tools, and provides their phone number and address. So we've got lots at calvoter.org to help you, too.
Well, thank you for all you do. Always a delight to have you, and always educational to have you. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Michael.
It's Kim Alexander, president and founder of the California Voter Foundation.